48 weeks a year, 60 hours a week, earning, say, £50,000 to £100,000, but spending more than they earn, meaning they become disillusioned with the industry and they have little in the way of plans to improve or to find a vision. Well, what I do at Dream Team is I put together an intensive 3-year coaching program to deliver 8 key strategies to find vision, passion, and a path to success. Meaning by the end of the 3rd year, you will be working no more than 40 weeks per year, no more than 30 to 40 hours per week, and earning considerably more than £100,000 per annum. We will provide a greater vision, a balance, and a happiness both at work and at play. If you're interested, I suggest you stay tuned. Let me tell you a little bit about who I am and what I do. My name is Carl Harty, and I truly appreciate you taking the time to listen to me today. Let me tell you a little bit about myself first. I started as an insurance advisor back in 1990 for Sun Alliance. In my first 5 years in the business, I was that person I just described. I was working many, many hours, working week after week after week. It was a job. There was no vision. There was no career path. I was frustrated. Then in 1995, several things happened to me. I joined a coaching program. I learnt about goals, I created a vision, and I learnt the tools that have allowed me to be able to transform myself into where I've got to today. I'll spend more detail in the coaching program telling you how. But as a snapshot, I went from £50,000 of gross income to over £500,000 in just 3 years. And then I did it again by taking it from £500,000 to over £1 million. I now work less than 100 days per year in financial services. I've become an author and I've become a full-time coach. I work because of the pleasure that it creates in giving back to other people. Let's look at the business at the moment. There's a huge amount of change going on. But we've been faced with change historically. We've gone through commission disclosure. We've gone through reason why letters. We've gone through new regulation. But to me, it is just a roadblock. Whatever somebody puts in our way, as long as we have a powerful vision ahead of us, we can achieve whatever we want to achieve. But do you have that vision at the moment? What are the threats that we have to look at? Will commissions be cut? Probably they will be. They have been over the last 5 to 6 years steadily nibbled away at. Do we need to get our business in a structure that the insurance companies don't control our income? Personally, I think so. To me, it's wrong when the insurers control our income. They control how they pay us. They control the amount that they pay us. So let's look at different ways. My view at the moment is that by creating this consuming 3-year vision that we need to change our practices. I believe I'm the leader to be able to move you forward to where you need to go to. The 8 strategies that I help people with is via focusing and via accountability. First is creating a powerful, consuming 3-year vision. This isn't just a goal. This is a vision that consumes us, that it gets into our juices, that we live it every single day because it is such a challenge that we're going to go out and share it with people and go through whatever roadblocks there may be. We then look at planning the time to plan. How many of us have actually taken a day out of our life to put a day into our life? How often do we actually sit down and have structure to our days? Who controls our diaries? Is it our clients or is it us? To me, it should be us. Financial controls. Do we have financial controls in our business? Are we working the budgets the way that they should be? Are we doing course correction along the way? You will learn all about this in the strategy with regards to financial controls. Then I'm going to show you how to build a championship support team. This is a team that of people behind you to allow you to focus on your unique ability. This means you do what you are best at and delegate everything to everyone else. Then we look at the client journey. Does the client get what they want from start to finish? This is a journey when the client wanders into our offices. Do they get everything? does the office look right? Is the furniture right? Are the reports right? Is everything right? And again, we're going to spend time focusing on this. We're going to look at selling skills, how to sell ethically and honestly, and how to build retainer fees into our practice so we don't rely on the insurance companies to pay us, that we can wake up on January the 1st each and every year from this point forward knowing that all the bills are paid and we're working to a plan. We then look at low-cost marketing engine, how to create an engine which is going to produce the right type of clients that we want on a regular basis. It means sometimes we have to undo our practices to put it back together right, because we're all carrying historic baggage. What are we tolerating at the moment? What do we need to get rid of? So these are some of the things. If we can put those seven strategies together, we will end up at strategy number 8, which is balance, work and play. This is where we're working no more than 100 days per year. We're generating in excess of £100,000 of net profit, and we're having a good life all around. Let me go into a little bit more detail about each of the strategies that you're going to learn about over the course of the next 3 years. This is just to whet your appetite, but let's look at creating a powerful 3-year vision first of all. My vision back in 1995 was survival. People used to say, Carl, what's your goal? And my goal was to do as much as I possibly could. But that was a lousy goal. That wasn't a goal. It was just survival. Then one day I was introduced to setting goals. These are goals other than money. Yes, money was involved, but it was a goal that had deep down meaning. I went to an organization called the Million Dollar Round Table in America. The first meeting was actually in Toronto in Canada. I saw people there that became role models to me. I saw people who were earning, in a sense, millions of pounds per annum by having structure to their lives. I set a goal that I wanted to go back in 12 months' time with a right white ribbon on my chest. What did it mean? This would mean that I would be top of the table in the Million Dollar Round Table terms. This would mean I'd be about 0.1% of the worldwide people within financial services qualify for this. So it had a burning goal to achieve it. However, how can I do that without a plan? My plan was to break it down into bite-sized pieces. As people say, how do you eat an elephant? Piece by piece. I broke the goal down from being a £240,000 target, and I firstly went from £240,000 and I split it into monthly goals, which was £20,000 a month. But even at that level, I felt I would only fail because I'd never done £20,000 in a month at that stage. I then broke it down into weeks, £5,000 a week. But even then, that was a scary target because I'd never achieved £5,000 in a single week back then. So how could I do it? So I broke it down even further, and I broke it down into £1,000 a day, which was £500 in the morning and £500 in the afternoon. Now, I knew deep down I could achieve £500 in the morning and £500 in the afternoon. And I knew that if I could do £500 in the morning and £500 in the afternoon every day of every week, that 1 year later I would have that coveted white ribbon. It took me 10 months to achieve that. But it was because I had a powerful 3-year vision. The goal was to do it in 3 years, and it was achieved in a 10-month period. Why? Because there was goals other than money. One was a white ribbon. But what did it achieve? It allowed me to move house. It allowed me to change car. It allowed me to put my children through private education. These were goals that meant something deep down to me, that I wanted to be able to move forward and move onwards. Do you have a powerful 3-year vision? If not, we need to go to work and start working. From the coaching side of things, I've been coached by two main people, one by the name of Chris Barrow and one by a guy called Dan Sullivan. Now, Dan Sullivan always asks this question called the 3-year question, which is, if we were meeting here today, 3 years in the future, looking back at the past 3 years, looking at our progress, both personally and professionally, what would have had to have happened for you to feel happy with your progress? Now, if you don't know the answer to that question, how on earth are you ever going to get to where you need to get to? Once we've created the vision, we need to break it down into manageable bite-sized pieces. We need to firstly have a mission statement of what do we stand for and what are we about. My personal mission statement is to have a positive influence on all people that I touch and meet. both personally and professionally. We then need to break our vision into a 12-month plan, down into 90-day goals, down into monthly management, into a weekly focus, and down into daily tasks. Now, once we have got to the stage of knowing exactly what we want, we then just need to go to work to start doing so. So we will spend an entire day creating a vision in a group environment of no more than 10 people. We will share the vision with each other. We will have accountability within the group. And then we'll come back every 90 days to share the vision and do some course correction along the way. Course correction is good. Imagine we were jumping on an aeroplane and we're about to leave from where we are right now and we're going to fly to New York. We're going to assume the captain's going to keep an eye on the instruments in front of him. But if he drifts off slightly, just by, say, 1 degrees, the chances are he won't land in New York. The chances are he might land in, say, Washington. Now, Washington's a great place, but if you want to be in New York, it's the wrong place. So what will the captain do? He will course correct every few minutes to keep on track. The question is, in our businesses, are we course correcting at the moment, or are we just going along for the ride and hope that we get there? The point of this group is to come together every 90 days and do some course correction. Planning the time to plan is strategy number 2. This is where we rearrange our diary system. This is where I'm going to teach you about free days, focus days, and future days. A free day is all about rejuvenation. This is a day that we plug ourselves into something which is good for us, something that allows us to get away from mobile phones, emails and pages, something that we will spend doing that we have a passion for, to share with the people that we love most. My passion is to go water skiing. For myself to go water skiing away from everything allows me to focus. We then have focus days. I call these show me the money days. This is a day that I go out and earn money. And I will do 3 of these days per week. Generally a Tuesday, a Wednesday, and a Thursday. And my focus for that day is to do one thing only. That is to use my unique ability of being eyeball to eyeball with clients or from a coaching side of things. Something that generates money. And I won't do anything else on those days. A future day is the next and probably the most important day. A future day is a day that we spend working on the business. Not in the business, but on the business. How many of us are taking time out of our busy schedules to actually spend time working on the business? What does it mean by future day? I call it a future profit day. It's a day I don't earn money today, but I'm generating profits into the future. It's a day of marketing. It's a day such as today when I'm in a recording studio. It's a day that I'm giving a talk. It's a day I'm putting my seminars together. It's a day that doesn't generate income for today, but it will generate future incomes for me in the future. So those are the first 3 days. It's called the entrepreneurial time system. We will learn all about it and put it into your diaries. From that, I then want people to focus on rocks, stones, and sand. It's a very simple analogy. But imagine we were sat on the beach. And on the beach, we got a great big pile of rocks, a great big pile of stones, and a great big pile of sand. And we go to the child upon the beach and say, "There you go, son, there's a great big bucket. What I want you to do is in that bucket, I want you to fill it full of sand, stones, and rocks." So the child goes along and he firstly puts the sand into the bucket. Then he puts the stones on top of the sand, and then he picks up the big rocks and tries to fit them into the bucket, but there's no space left. So I said, "Well, let's do it the other way round. Let's go and put the rocks in first, then we put the stones, in a sense, placed between the rocks, and then we pour the sand between all of the gaps. Now, the chances are not all of the sand is going to fit in, but does it matter? Let's put it in our business world. What are rocks? The rocks are the big clients who are going to generate the maximum amount of income. The stones are the people who are going to provide the next set of income, and the sand are maybe the routine reviews, the stuff which really we should be delegating to other people. Now, if you can start to focus on rocks, stones and sand and start to take into account within the diary structure itself, working three focus and future days, all of a sudden, over the course of, say, a 3-month period, you will start to see that your income will actually start to go up. But think at the moment about what are the rocks? If you take control of the diary and put the rocks in first, your income will definitely go up. When we're looking at time management, we need to have daily focuses. What is the single most important thing we do today? Or what is the single most important rock that we need to be moving today? And then we break it down from daily to weekly to monthly to quarterly to annually. And we need to take time out to do the course corrections. By coming to the actual Dream Team coaching group, what happens is I say you go in the zone. As you drive there, maybe the evening before or the morning before, you start to think about why are you going. You start to think about your business. You start to think about all the things that you were going to do but may not have got around to doing. And you go into the zone. You go into a room for 8 hours being totally uninterrupted, being guided by myself and the other participants within the group. It allows you to get your head around the business, to be working on the business rather than in the business. I fly to New York 4 times a year because, in a sense, who coaches the coach? And I have to do the same things every 90 days because if it works for me, I know it's going to work for you. Financial controls, number 3. Do we have budgets? Well, let me look at this from a different side of things. From my own personal history, I have to own up and say that I have had an incredible talent of being able to make money. But I've also had an incredible talent of being able to spend money as well. So it took me a few years of getting this particular side wrong until one day, I suppose, financial maturity woke me up. And this is when I sat down and said, well, how much money am I making on one hand and how much money am I spending on the other hand? Once you get to the honesty side and go, wow, that's scary, you then have to put into place budgets. You need to put into account management accounts. You need to have regular meetings with the people who are important. If you're trying to do the budgets yourself, maybe you're not the right person to do it. Is it your unique ability? Or should you hire a proper qualified business accountant who sits down on a monthly basis to make sure that everything is right? Course correction is put in. Are sales and income correct? Are we spending too much money in certain areas? Are there commission flows which are causing our problems because money is held up with the insurance companies? Have we delegated all of our income power down to the insurance companies that set the rate? Are we doing full planning or are we just product pushers? I heard a talk many years ago at the Million Dollar Roundtable, which was describing commission junkies, people who were selling products for commission. And I had to have a good hard look in the mirror and say, interesting. I didn't believe I was, but once I get back to the very basics and you look in the mirror directly at yourself, you have to say, well, unless I have passive income coming through via retainers, maybe that is the situation. We have to look at setting our pricing. How do we price? How do we put retainers in place? How do we charge fees? Through the program itself, I will show you how and provide you with the relevant details that you require with regards to fee agreements, which are tried and tested and work. We need a debt reduction program put in place, both personally and professionally. If our business has debt, overdrafts, we need to find ways to reduce it. Both, and again on a personal basis, if we have too much money on credit cards or loans or overdrafts, what are we going to do to get rid of it? By sitting down every 90 days, we will track it and put it together to make it work. So eventually we can be building reserves which are accountable to all. Firstly, we reduce the debt, and then secondly, we increase our reserves. That gives us freedom. If one day we've had enough, we can walk away. What exit route do we have in place? Hopefully these are all questions that I'm raising at the moment that you may need answers to. Come on the course, I will show you the way to find all the answers to all of these problems. Support team is number 4. We need to have a championship winning support team behind us. This is a group of people that do all of the stuff that we should not be doing. I remember way back in 95-96, I was told to go and find a great big whiteboard, which I did, and I was told to write on the whiteboard all the jobs that I did in a day. And I listed job after job after job, ordering quotes, typing letters, making tea, you name it, I did it. And then I was asked another question, and this question was, circle all the jobs that you actually get paid to do. So I say to myself, but I get paid to do all of them, because if I don't do all of this, I don't get the sale. And the question was, no, what do you get paid to do? And the answer was, when I looked at it, I got paid to see clients and ask for referrals and network. Those were the only three things. Those were, in a sense, the part of the job that I got paid the most to do, say £500 an hour. So the real question was, what was I doing messing around doing £5 an hour work? So what I needed to do was then go and build a championship winning support team. This was a group of people that allow me to do what I do. This is now a situation where I work no more than 100 days per year. I work no more than about 35 hours per week because everyone else does everything that they need to do. Now, if it was all so easy, of course we'd all be doing it, wouldn't we? It takes time. It's taken me 32 people to find the right four. Now, I'm not proud of that. You have to go through the pain. What I want you to do is to maybe find six or seven people to find you the right three or four people by learning from my mistakes. And we will go through building a championship winning support team of who does what. In my case, I have a group of people that allow me to do what I need to do. Once we find the support team, because we may already have some people there, we need to go through nine steps. Firstly, in a sense, if we have the wrong people, we have to eliminate them. We must not tolerate people who are not going to help us achieve our powerful three-year vision. After eliminate, we have fabricate. Fabricate is we have to have an organizational structure put in place, even though we may only be a small business. But if we're a small business or a large business, let's think about what a big business would do if they were faced with the same problems that we're faced with. Because I'm sure if you ask that question, you will get a different answer rather than answering it as a small business. We then orchestrate. Orchestrate is we have to have a system and a process for everything, from the way our phones are answered, to the way that we give advice, to the way we follow through, to the way we recruit people, to the way that we look for our business. We then need to motivate. We need to motivate and recruit and train and facilitate the right people. Do we have the right bonus plan in place to allow people to be able to, in a sense, the entire team to receive very, very good remuneration package? We need to indoctrinate. How many people have got a vision but don't share the vision? It's a little bit like jumping in a taxi and going on a ride and having no idea where you're going. Do our support people know where we're going and what we're trying to achieve? If not, share the vision. We need to delegate, but not to abdicate. Delegate, well, what I used to do when I delegated, I used to dump, which simply meant I had a task and I gave it to somebody else, but I never showed them what to do. The best way to delegate is to sit down and to show. It may take a month or two. Most of us haven't got an hour or two to sit down. But we have to look and say, what is the outcome? The outcome is where we're going to be in 3 years' time. There will be a little pain to go along the way, but delegation is key. We need to compensate well. Compensate is to make sure that it's performance related. In my own organization, we pay good basic salaries. The salaries are about 20% above what the average is for the area. But then on top, we put a bonus program in place, which is second to none. But this is paid from profit, so it doesn't put a hindrance upon the cash flow of the business. And lastly, we need to educate. We need to role play. We need to put courses into place, and we need to improve people. Imagine football teams. Every time a football team gets promoted from one league to another, what do they do? Do the same players go forward with them? Generally not. Generally, they will have to replace and put new people in place because they're moving up the ladder. From our side of things, we're going to be moving up the ladder from, say, 50 to 100,000, 100 to 200, 200 to 500, 500 to a million. It doesn't matter on what step of the ladder you're on at the moment. If we're all going to improve, our team have got to improve with us. Strategy 5, producing a wow practice. I fly an awful lot around the world. I have courses for Dream Team Coaching over in Singapore, and I fly with Singapore Airlines. Now, I must admit that Singapore Airlines is a wow airline, that you jump on board and everything is wow. Now, I pay more for the pleasure of going on a wow airline than I do with, say, an EasyJet. Now let's look at it from our client's point of view. We want our clients to pay us extremely large amounts of money as retainer fees. But if we provide an easy service, we won't get the highest fees. So if we're going to get the highest fees, we have to provide a wow service, a wow practice. What are we going to do different? What does the structure of our business say about us? What does the brand say about us? Do we have a process within our business from start to finish? How is the client dealt with as a person? I put a process in place, which is a process of advice. The first meeting that we have is called discovery. This is where we discover whether we can work together, yes or no. It's like a job interview to me. From this area, once we've gone through discovery, which takes into account asking clients the 3-year question, which is basically, if we were sat here, Mr. and Mrs. Client, in 3 years' time, looking back over the last 3 years, what would have had to have happened to your investment portfolio for you to feel happy with the progress? Generally, the answers would be along the lines that they would like to think that the risk is being managed correctly, that their income is keeping up with inflation, and they're not exposed to any undue risk. Generally, they'd like to think that their estate planning is taken care of, so the crudest of all taxes, inheritance tax, hasn't been volunteered to the Inland Revenue. And they'd like to think that, in the event of long-term care, all is covered. But if a client knows what they're trying to achieve over a 3-year period, there's a pretty good chance I can achieve it for them. But if we don't ask the question, there's no way of getting there. Step 2 to the process is evaluate. This is when we go away and we put it all together. This is where we look at the dangers, the opportunities and the strengths of their portfolio and come back and make recommendations. Meeting number 2, which is stage 3, is the mutual commitment meeting. This is where we mutually agree to work to move forwards together. This is where we do letters of engagement. We enter into the fee agreements. We enter into the retainers and so on and so forth. From there, we move to the blueprint. This is operating the plan that we've spent time to work with. And finally is the lifetime financial management plan, which is to have quarterly meetings with the clients to check and do their course correction. In theory, I'm coaching clients the way I coach my advisors. There is no difference. They need a trusted advisor who they can work with. But if you don't have a process in place, how can you achieve it? So just give consideration to what you do. Document what you do, and we will spend the next sort of 3-year process putting this into place. And finally, from the client is the outcome. Did the client get what they came for? Was it priced right? And is the relationship right? If not, maybe this is why we don't move forward. Strategy 6 is ethical selling skills. Now, I find this sometimes difficult because I'm talking to people who are probably, without doubt, the greatest sales profession that there are. This isn't a question of how good are you at selling. This is more of a question of saying, well, it's not about selling. What we're doing really is building relationships. That's not selling. I remember many, many years ago hearing somebody say to me, he said, Carl, you have 2 ears and 1 mouth, so use them in that order. It's not about the gift of the gab. It's about listening to people. Now, that's a different skill to selling, because you're about being the trusted advisor. To me, in a sense, if somebody says, describe yourself to a client, to me, probably the easiest way to describe it is I'm everyone's favorite grandson. Because the favourite grandson will look after them, not just for today, but over the years ahead. So that's what I do. I become everyone's favourite grandson. But I learned something many, many years ago, which was probably unique at the time, which was I was always under the impression that you treat people how you want to be treated. But that's so wrong. Because if you treat people how you want to be treated, because of the four different personality styles, the chances are you're going to upset three out of four people. So if you're in the sales environment, that's not too cool, is it? Because that means you're only going to sell to one in four or 25%. So what I learned very, very quickly was to treat people how they want to be treated. And repeat that. Treat people how they want to be treated. Now that means that you need to change a little bit. It means that you need to learn how to build rapport, have effective listening, understand body language, use effective questioning, come up with building solutions and resolving concerns to gain the commitment. But if you can treat people how they want to be treated, the chances are you will sell four out of four rather than one out of four. We spend an entire day going through 20 steps of effective ethical selling skills. Even if we're only dealing with the same amount of people that we're already dealing with, but we can improve upon this one single area, the chances are our individual production will go up 2, 3, or 4-fold. So something to think about in that one. How do we do it? I will share it within the course of strategy number 6. Strategy 7 is a low-cost marketing engine. Now, a lot of people say to me, well, I quite like all the other strategies, but most importantly, I want to get to the marketing engine. I want to be in a situation where I have an endless supply of top-quality clients coming through the door. Now, the reason I put it in as number 7 is that I think we have to get the other 6 right first. It's a little bit like building, say, a house. We don't start from the roof down. We put the foundations in first. And then once the foundations are in, we build the walls and eventually we put the roof on top. And in a sense, the low-cost marketing engine is similar. But once we've got everything in place, we've got a powerful, consuming, creative vision that is in our juices that we're going to strive for. We've taken control of our time management. We've taken and got a hold of our cost basis, so we're doing it right. We've got a championship-winning support team of people behind us to allow us to go forward and focus on our unique ability. We have the physical environment to produce the wow factor for our clients, so they refer us more and more and more to the right type of people. So we're being referred to people just like them, people who we trust, we like, and we respect, who have excellent economic potential and will refer us to other people. We can then start work on the marketing engine. This is where we look at grading our clients to work with the best that we have and always prospect up rather than down. We add value to them. We have welcome packs. We put menus into place. How many of us have a menu of our services? Imagine going into a restaurant, for instance, and they say, well, what do you want? You'd say, well, can I see the menu, please? And they say, well, we haven't got a menu. But in our case, that's what we're saying. We have a menu of all the things that we do, but we don't tell people what we do. Let's put a menu together of what we do and how we can help. Do we ask for referrals? And if so, how do we ask? Is it successful? Some people are very good and some people are very poor, but there are ways and means of doing it. We should be building strategic alliances with the right type of people around us. In a sense, our accountants, our solicitors, other networking opportunities. It doesn't matter whether we're investment advisors, pension advisors, mortgage advisors, but what are we doing? To network, to get our name in front of the right people and showing us as individuals. Some of us may work for companies. Well, the company may well be branded, and mostly it is very well. But what are we doing about our personal branding? The way we dress, the car we drive, the way that we look. It's what people remember about us. Are we doing speaking engagements? Are we speaking at conferences? Are we speaking at seminars? Are we helping our people who are around us? And if not, why not? Really, the low-cost marketing engine, we'll spend again an entire day going through this to make sure that we can polish your business to get people who are queuing up at your door over the course of the next 3 years to be wanting to do business with you upon your terms. Finally, if we can put the 7 strategies together, we end up with number 8, which is to maintain balance between work, rest and play. There is no point in getting to the top of Success Mountain to look behind and realize that maybe our spouses have left us. The children don't even know our names. We need to put time into each of these areas. So we need to have balance within our family. We need to have balance in our physical side to make sure that we are fit and healthy. This is a marathon that we're about to go on. Now, if you're about to run a marathon, are you going to get fit first? Of course you are, because you won't run too far. We need to be fit both in our mind and within our energy and within our own bodies. So we need to look at the financial side to again to have balance between what we're trying to achieve. So the key areas are financial, business, family, physical, social, intellectual and spiritual. If we can get the first 7 right, the last one will come just as we need it. Well, that's really a look at the 8 strategies. At the moment, if you don't have a powerful 3-year vision, I would suggest it is time that you do so. How does the course work? The program is designed over a 3-year period. It's broken down into 90-day segments. People sign up for 1 year at a time, and the cost, no, it's not a cost, it's an investment in you to be able to excel is just £200 per month. At the end of the 12-month period, you have the option to renew for year 2 and year 3. There will be courses to be run up and down the UK. Simply go to our website, www.dreamteamcoaching.co.uk, or phone us on 01691 671 903 to find out the dates which are closest to you. Look in the Prospect magazine every month. There is either editorial or an advert detailing the next groups. The groups will have between 6 to 10 people. This isn't about having huge numbers of people in a room. This is about a core group of people who are going to go on a journey over the course of the next 3 years to have the creative, consuming, passionate vision that is going to drive them beyond everything that you've ever been before. You know that you can go and do this. You know that deep down you have the potential to be able to be extraordinary. The challenge is pick up the phone and join Dream Team Coaching. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope to see you at one of the courses up and down the UK over the course of the next 12 months. If you need to speak to me, please do. Thank you very much for listening.